In the old days, while the minister's shuffling around in his old castle up the front here, nobody noticed because everyone was opening up their Bibles and finding the passage. We don't do that now. We just press a button and there we are. So, okay. I want to pray to get myself where I need to be. Loving Heavenly Father, we just want to lift up the children to you today, the little ones in the creche. We pray, Father, for peace and for love, for joy, truth, Father, all the things that are going on out there in subtle ways, in clear ways, in... And we just pray that our young ones will just again, Father, have some more layers of truth in their lives. And as that happens, they will learn, like what Sim was praying, what Deanne was sharing, to understand a clear picture of who you are. And that they'd learn to love you and trust you as the weeks and the months and the years go by. That's what we pray for ourselves, Father. Though we may be older, we know that we still are often in the remedial class for just learning to trust you, learning to love you, learning to let you be right and be true and to be content with that. So help us today afresh, Lord, as we look at your word together. Amen. This passage that we're looking at in Ephesians, in the newsletter anyway, I've called it More Than Conquerors. And that's a phrase that comes out of another part of the Bible. Do you know where that comes from? Don't just nod. Tell me where it is. Romans 8, that's right. And that's how Paul describes the Christian, as someone who is more than a conqueror. And I sort of have seen that in the sense of just, well, yeah, it's a conqueror, but it's more than a conqueror. You know, it's an incredible conqueror. I think it was Emily who said to me some time ago, she said she looks at it like we're a conqueror in the sense that God blesses us and helps us and encourages us and does things through us and uses us, which is a wonderful sort of thing. That's kind of like being a conqueror in him. But he also, because he's God, he can take things that are surprises to us, things that he may not have actually intended, if you like, to be in the world in the sense of sin and in the sense of people's doing the wrong thing, hatred, all of those sorts of things. God, if we can give that to him, he can take that and even turn that into something that can serve him to grow us into being a more Christ-like person. And she said, that's what I think in the sense of more than conquerors. That makes sense, doesn't it? And that's really good. Anyway, what does Paul know about being a conqueror? I mean, he knows a lot. Well, he certainly knows a lot about battle anyway. He's a battle-hardened veteran brother in the family of God. This passage in Ephesians chapter 16, at verse 13, he talks about taking up God's complete armour. And then, in the day of evil, or when wickedness grabs its moment, that's a different sort of translation probably to what you've got. It's not necessarily some great big day of evil, but it's any day when we are confronted with our enemy, the enemy of our souls. When evil grabs its moment, you'll be able to stand and withstand, to do what needs to be done in that moment and to still be on your feet when it's all over. So, if we were to go back to that well-known passage in Romans 8, which talks about us being more than conquerors, the context of those verses is not terribly conquering looking, if you can put it that way. Go back to Romans 8, verse 37 is that amazing one that I quoted, that we are more than conquerors. But then, if you look at verses 35 through to 36, which leads into that powerful confidence statement, it's all about struggle. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the Messiah's love? Shall suffering or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, all these things that the Jewish mindset saw as not being part of the blessing of God, not being part of being, if you like, a triumphant member of the armies of God. All these things, sufferings and hardships. And then he even goes on in verse 36 to quote a Bible passage that says, because of you we are being killed all day long, and we are regarded as sheep destined for the slaughter. So that begs a lot of questions to us. That the battle that we're in isn't something that appears on the surface. It's a little bit like what Deanne was saying today about our true beauty, our true who we are is who we are, not what we look like, and not what we do, but who we are, because that affects everything else that we do. And it's like that with this battle. From a human point of view, Paul's life and the life of those early Christians seemed to be almost a pathetic existence of being at the mercy of everything and everyone around them. It was illegal to be a Christian. It was illegal to say Jesus is Lord, because you had to say Caesar is Lord. And even the religious society at the time there were all against them as well. So on the surface, that's what it looks like. But Paul's talking about being a conqueror. And yet these people seem to be the victims that's there. And that shows us something really important about what it means to follow Jesus and this battle that we're in. Have you ever stopped to think about what is the battle? What is the battle that we face day by day? The battle is to get us to deny Christ and to curse God. Remember Job? All that happened to him and all the losses that came crashing into his life, unwelcomed, unexpected, undeserved, and there it was. And his wife turns to him and says, why do you maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. And Job responds, how can we do that? How can I do that? But you see, the enemy is out to get us, and he'll do it in any way, shape or form to get us to deny Christ and to curse God. He doesn't care if in the process of that we become a successful person. He doesn't care if we become the head of some great big corporation or if we become the head of some great big church denomination. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if we become a policeman or if we become a criminal. But he'll use everything that he possibly can in our lives to get us to that point where at the very core of it all, what really matters? To deny Christ and to curse God. Now what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 6 is that through all of that, we'll stand firm. We will not yield the ground. We'll never deny our Lord if we take up God's complete armour. And goes on to talk about that in verse 14. So stand firm. Put the belt of truth around your waist. Put on justice as your breastplate. For shoes on your feet, ready for battle, take the good news of peace. And with it all, take the shield of faith. And you'll be able to quench all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. So, we are more than conquerors. We need to be clothed for battle. God's armour, that verse 13 talked about. It's a spiritual battle, so therefore it needs spiritual armour. That's as obvious as anything, but we overlook it so many times. Remember David versus Goliath in the Old Testament? Do you remember he volunteers? Can't believe that this mere giant is standing against the living God. And so just as a young man, he goes and volunteers to King Saul to go out and fight the giant. And King Saul says, well, I can't believe that you can, but, you know, David told him about how he defended the flock of sheep that he was looking after for his dad when bears and lions came to him. And there were bears and lions back in Palestine, back way in those days. And he defended them and fought these things. And he said, this Goliath guy will just be like another bear to me. And then Saul says, well, okay. And then he says, you better take my armour with you. And he tries to clothe David in the armour of a grown man, a soldier. And David says, no, this armour's not going to be any good for me. And he goes, and you know what he does. He picks up the stones and he's going to use his sling. And a spiritual battle needs spiritual armour. Verse 14 to 17 are pictures really of like a Roman soldier. Very familiar to the Christians in those days, what a Roman soldier looked like, how he was dressed. He was always dressed for battle in that sense. We see it as an illustration, not of outer armour, but of inner armour. You know, the ads you see on the buses, and I think they're on the telly as well, but, you know, where and I'm not trying to be rude here, but the guy, you know, opens up his shirt and shows his underneath. And what's there? I know I've got gorilla hair, but what's on this guy on the telly? His military clothes, you know? Army Reserve. You know, here's this picture they're painting of this mob of people in society. We don't know who they are. But if you start seeing them undress, then there's their military clothes on underneath. And it's giving that sort of idea that on the outside they're a plumber or a banker or whatever, but at the same time they're part of this reserve army that we've got. So think of it in a sense. Yeah, it's a silly illustration probably, but it came to mind as I was talking about it. No matter what's on the outside of our lives, my friends, inside, we are militantly committed to Christ. That's what it means to call Jesus Lord. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. On the inside, we are militantly committed to Christ. Our inner self is unbreachable. He talks there of this armour of its truth, its righteousness, its peace, its faith, its salvation. These are the things that make us strong in the spiritual battle. A strong personality doesn't help. To be militantly committed to Christ inside does not mean we have to have a strong, dominant personality, a quick temper, pride, anger, vengeance, all of those things. None of those things help. In fact, all of those things would make us weaker internally, even less able to stand in the midst of the battle. But often they're the things that sometimes, you know, we see where people are trying to do the Lord's work in the devil's way, externally. And the commitment to Christ is weak because the commitment to themselves to get their way, to be right, to be true, to be better, all of those things get in the way. So we need to be clothed for battle. We need to understand what the battle is. Otherwise, we'll have the wrong clothes on. Spiritual battle requires spiritual armour that's there. And with that armour, Paul is saying here in this passage that we will be conquerors in battle. What did it say? When wickedness grabs its moment. That could be right in the middle of church. That could be right in the middle of our prayer time in the morning. Could be on the bus. Could be in the middle of a crowd, or it could be when we're all on our own, in the privateness of our own thinking. How does it work? For some people, they think of it in terms of getting dressed. And in the morning when they get dressed twice. They put on their outer clothes, and as they're doing that, they think through about these spiritual clothes, and they imagine it in that same sort of sense. Well, that may be the way you do it, and that might be helpful, and I know people that think of it like that. But what you find, and those people would find this too, it isn't just something that happens in the beginning of the day, because throughout the day we are confronted by attacks all along. And many of those attacks don't look like attacks. Because what did we say right last week, back early a few verses? We need to be stand firm against the devil's trickery or deceit or schemes. Remember they used different words there. For, you know, he's a tricky customer. His strength is his masquerading. His strength is his subtlety. And we see that every place we look throughout the Bible, how he confronted people who were whether strong or whether wise or whether pure, all that's there. So throughout the day, when we're confronted by attacks from the enemy, because of the armour that we have, we will be conquerors in battle. And remember, being conquerors in battle means we will not deny Christ. We will not curse God. We will not put self first. That's what it means to conquer in those moments. Verse 13 talks about putting on. Or taking up. Verse 14 again says, you know, put the belt on, put these things that are there. In other words, to live those things out in our life, to respond in those kinds of ways, ways that Christ responds, to react to that moment in a way that we know pleases the Lord. Over in Colossians, it's got a list of things there about putting on a heart of tenderness, mercy, humility, forgiveness. So when we're in the moment of battle, if you like, someone has confronted us, or there's a situation here. The Samaritan is walking down the road to Jericho, and he sees the man busted up on the side of the road. A priest had already been passed. The battle was there. What does your God say you ought to do, priest? Oh, I can't go over there and look after him because I'll get dirty. I'll get blood on my hands and I'm on my way to worship. So he loses that battle. He denies Christ in that moment. Because remember, Jesus said at other times, you see someone beaten up on the side of the road and you give him a glass of water, you'd given it to me. So the priest, with all of his priestliness, he's not a conqueror. And then a Levite comes along, religious kind of lawyer, if you like, and he's the same. Samaritan comes along. That's the battle there. What are you going to do? This guy's a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. They won't spit on me if I was on fire. So I'm. But he's a man. And you're a man. Forget about the Jew stuff. Forget about the Gentile stuff. Forget about the colour of his skin. Forget about the clothes that he's got on or he hasn't got on. Forget about the blood. He's a man. He's in need. And there's the battle. And that man wins a battle. He's a conqueror. The tenderheartedness, the mercy, the humility, all those things that come from within. You know, it's these sorts of areas where we are conquerors in battle. Down to earth moments, concrete life moments. Nick Cave, have you heard of him? He's a singer. He sings some quite amazing songs. And I don't quite work him out. But one of the songs he's singing is about his girlfriend. And it sounds like she's a believer and he's not such a believer. He doesn't really believe in prayer, but if he was going to pray, what he would pray for her is that she would continue to walk as Christ in grace and love. It's a fantastic line. To walk as Christ in grace and love. That's the battle. That's being a conqueror in the battle. And if you can get it, a simple way for me to understand the armour is to see that the armour really is Jesus Christ himself. When it talks in the scriptures about putting on the armour of God, it also says put on Christ. And this is the whole point of Ephesians. Remember we said last week? Ephesians is all about taking possession of the land, like the book of Joshua was in the Old Testament. Ephesians is all about Paul saying, guys, ladies, come on, let's actually realise who we are in Christ. And let's be that in the ordinary, everyday lives that we live. Let's be what we already are in the everyday life that we live down here. Romans 13 says, instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Being a conqueror in battle. We don't necessarily have to go through all the armour, all the bits of clothing, in a sense. If we just remember one thing, that we're clothed in Christ. And letting Christ lead us and walk in him in grace and love, we'll be conquerors in battle. And the passage from Nehemiah, we can just close with that. That's just an illustration. It's an illustration of something really important that we need to add to this. We've talked about being clothed for battle, being conquerors in battle. This last little point is just, from Nehemiah we learn to be constructive in battle. Be constructive in battle. See, that battle to get us to deny Christ and to curse God is broken down in other aspects too. The battle is also aimed at getting us to lose our joy and our love. It's to get us to that point where we cease to praise the Lord. to get us to become destructive and judgmental. That's a great temptation when you're thinking of battling. It's a great temptation when you're trying to, you know, put on the belt of truth. The battle isn't just putting the belt on. The battle is then making sure that you continue to live in a way that reflects Christ. So, being constructive. Those people back in Nehemiah were building a wall around the city of Jerusalem that had been destroyed years before. That was their role. They were builders. They had to become battlers at times, but the real core of what they were doing, they were building. Some Christians' way of expressing their zeal or their commitment to Christ comes out in ways that can sometimes be judgmental of others and critical of others or negative. They may not mean it. They may not understand how it comes through that way. But if you think about that, we express our zeal for the Lord, our commitment to truth or all of that sort of stuff in ways that cause us to be unchristlike, then the devil is just winning again via the back door, isn't he? Nehemiah is a great lesson. We don't need to read all those verses again. I read them all because they flow all together. They're building this wall. The main plan that they had was not to battle, it was to build. The attacks came to discourage the building. The attacks came to stop them doing what God wanted them to do. To honour him, to praise him, to go on in the being constructive in their lives. God's doing a great work in each of us. I know that. God's doing a great work in me. I know that. I know that because that's what the Bible says. I don't know that because I look in the mirror and think, oh, look at you. You're really looking like Jesus now. Well, maybe not. The Bible says God is doing a great work in us because God is great. And he'll continue to do a great work in us. He is building up our spiritual life. He's building us into, there's lots of terms in the Bible. One is talks about how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to go to the temple to meet God. We are the temple. We meet God in here. And we share together with others to encourage us and to, sharpen us and all of that sort of stuff. But that's what God is doing in our lives. And that's the work we need to give ourselves to. Now, there will be times when we'll have to battle because of that. As Tobiah and Sanballat and those other ones were furious when these people were building the wall. Well, the devil's furious that God is building us into this, you know, place, this life that is living in praise of God and in commitment to God. Let's not get so caught up in the battle that we forget the building. Let's make sure, because if that's the case, the devil will be able to get in and come in through that back door in the unchristlike way that we continue the battle. God's doing a great work in us, building us into Christ-like people. That's the goal. It is in our inner life. And it flows out to our outer life. It does flow out. It's not just some private thing, but this is where it's the core. Then it flows out as that passage that Matt read to us from Ephesians 2, out into the good works that we do in the human lives where we touch people day by day. It's not primarily working for the church. It's not. Those are all secondary things. The main work is the building of Christ-likeness into us as individual people. We can be more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We have Christ within us, so we can be clothed for the battle, so that we can be conquerors, and so that we can be growing, constructive people, being a blessing to others around us, whether they believe as we believe or whether they don't, by being who God wants us to be as we respond. That's what he says there. Then, when wickedness grabs its moment, you'll be able to withstand, to do what needs to be done, and still to be on your feet when it's all over. That's what I was thinking the other day at Ian's memorial service. When this side of life is all over, he was still standing, as we will be. Begins now the battle to continue to honour Jesus Christ as Lord and to allow him to overflow and touch other people's lives. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to understand in a way that helps us, Lord, to do these things. We pray that through your power, and that's the only way we can be who you want us to be, through your power, Father, that you would make this so in our lives in this coming week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.